What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is March 3rd, 2026. Yes, the month of March is upon us. Let the madness begin, as they say. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast streaming live on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. Hit that like button, the subscribe button, the follow button. Hit that notification bell on YouTube so you know when we're coming at you live each and every week. I'm Tanner Lee. We got a full house tonight. Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch joining me. How we doing, fellas?
Not too bad, Tanner, about you?
Like I said last night, my other podcast, good besides my sports fandom.
I'm with you there.
Wasn't the most enjoyable week for Boiler Nation, let's put it that way.
Yeah. That's putting it lightly.
And fell to the Spartans Thursday night at home, 76-74. Turn around, fall to the Buckeyes over in Columbus, 82-74. If you would have told me before the season began on March 3rd that Purdue would be sitting here with seven losses, I would have probably chuckled a little bit, assuming everybody was healthy. But yeah. I would have chuckled a little bit and been like, I don't know about that. But if you would have told me on top of that, that four of their seven losses were going to be at home, I would have told you you were crazy.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. I mean, what is it like? Isn't it like four losses, like the last 3 years combined at home or something like that? It was something crazy like that.
Yeah.
What a time.
I guess this poses a question I wanted to send to you guys, I think on Friday. And I said I was going to wait for the podcast. Are you concerned going forward after this year, this could become a common occurrence in Mackey? Is Mackey going to lose some of its toughness? Or do you think this is just for whatever reason in a year that shouldn't be, it's an outlier?
I think it's an outlier until it proves otherwise. I think, and you've said on your other podcast, it could just be a trend just with college basketball in general with, you know, the way the portal works now and, you know, guys, you know, moving between teams. Like, I feel like, you know, road environments may not be as big of a deal just because a lot of times these guys are only going to see that place once. Like, right. It's just, they don't hear the, you know, the horror stories from the upperclassmen of, you know, oh, we've lost, you know, three straight there or stuff like that. Somebody's going to be Elliot Cadeau has played in Cameron Indoor and Mackey as well. And so he's played in some pretty awesome environments. So I feel like guys like that, if they've played in, you know, some of the best, it's not going to really matter to them. And some of these teams are just also really good. I think it's the just the year as a whole. You know, you had those four kind of before the year. You know, you probably looked at Iowa State, you know, Illinois, Michigan, Michigan State, all before the year. It was like, hey, those are going to be probably our four biggest. And obviously you can throw Indiana in there too, but we didn't know how good they were going to be. Those are going to be the four biggest games. And now we're sitting here 0-4 in those, which really sucks.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason this season's so maddening and disappointing up to tonight as we record this, because we got a break, too, from the schedule makers of the Big Ten, getting Illinois, Michigan State, yep. Michigan once, and all at home, and you don't get any of them. That stings pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think the other thing you're missing here is this is pro ball now. I mean, it really is. I mean, guys getting paid, guys moving around. I mean, it's true free agency in regards to you fit the system. It's not anything in regards to school or anything of that nature anymore. So what you're saying in regards to, I want to call it prehistoric now, but like the days have gone by of, you know, coming through and, you know, the horror stories of going to the Kohl Center and the Kohl Center being house of horrors. It doesn't exist anymore. I think until our government, but they have bigger issues now, decides to fix this, because the NCAA is just getting crazy and letting guys get drafted. I can't wait till a first round pick comes back to school. it's getting to the point where it's hard to compete night in, night out, unless you have dudes like Michigan did and paid them. And I know Kason going down is a big deal, but I'm like, man, they're still deep on the bench.
I mean, their ninth man is a McDonald's All-American freshman, so it's
You think of our roster as like, man, one of these guys go down the bench or we are playing Aaron Fine. No offense to him right now, but it's like, ugh. And that's, I think, where this is starting to become more like pro ball. It's like you're buying a bench, you're buying a roster. And I know our NIL doesn't function like that, but it, there's going to have to be some give and take. And I still think this goes back to athletic director and things like that. But, and I'm not going to get in that night. I think I'm not blaming them for the two losses this week. No. But it's concerning moving forward. And Painter's press conference was kind of telling. I don't know if you both listened to the full thing.
I didn't check it out yet.
Okay. The tweet you sent in regards to Robbie was in context to Bruce Thornton, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I did see. I thought you meant his press conference today. Sorry. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay. So, and like Bruce sticking through, and he could easily transfer. And honestly, he'd be a star, let's say, Arkansas, something like that, being like a leading scorer playing for Cal.
And he's from Georgia. He could have went down to Georgia. He could went to, yeah, any team down there.
Correct, Florida. Well, he would probably come off the bench in Florida.
Painter recruited him hard. I mean, I think we made his top five. I remember when he committed to Ohio State, I was like, oh, dang. But then we got some little plucky guy named Braden Smith.
I mean, it's worked out. I mean, it may not work out in the end. It worked out holistically. It may not work out in the storybook ending that all Purdue fans want, but it's guys like that I don't think that we're going to see ever exist moving forward until the government gets forward and saying you can transfer once or something like that.
And that's where I was thinking today, you know, so many Purdue, I'm going to put quotations, fans are just turning right now on this team and this program to where Matt Painter addressed it. He said, these people that are taking personal attacks at our guys, they're not our fans. He's like, we got a great fan base. You can be upset about a game, you know, performance, but take personal attacks. And I agree with that. We're all disappointed. I mean, you know, we're going to call somebody out if they have a bad game, like they didn't play well, but we're not going to take personal attacks, which we're seeing now more than ever. I'm hoping Purdue doesn't be fan bases, even if it is just a chunk online, because they do get more attention when you're negative. Mm-hmm. I hope we don't get that perception of becoming one of those fan bases.
Yeah, I think it's, I think every, especially every major team, unless you're, I mean, I imagine Duke has this, even though they're also like, they're very rarely have they been not great. And I guess if you don't make a Final Four, you're not living up to their standards. But I feel like every, you know, major team has a fan base, has a section of their fan base that gets like that. But it is disappointing to see when, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's one thing to be mad about how a kid played, but I mean, at the end of the day, I know they are pros in a way, but they're still 18 to 22. Most of them are. And if they sit there and like attack them on social media or whatever, it's pretty low.
Well, I also think sports betting and the prop bets.
Oh, 100%. Prop bet that is
on my phone and Braden doesn't hit, let's say, the assist number, or Fletcher doesn't hit the threes.
Yep.
And I have a parlay and true. You know, F you guys now.
Yeah.
Because you screwed me over when you – I'm a fan and I'm loyal. I think that has a large, you know, account to it.
I think it's just sports in general, yeah. I think the prop betting has made things so bad from a fan perspective of, like, lashing out at players.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, so many of these – quote unquote, air quotes again, fans are saying, I'm done. I'm so sick of these three seniors, seen enough of them, blah, blah, blah. Like, for one, be careful what you wish for, because there's still three of the better players that come through the program. And two, like, don't take this for granted, because even though Purdue's had luck of seeing guys grow up through the program, might become pretty rare going forward.
It can change in an instant. I mean, like, guys can, you know, we could lose, you know, who's to say that hopefully it doesn't happen, but there's who's to say that, you know, we don't lose our, you know, a starter and, you know, our first three bench guys, like, in the offseason, who knows? Like, I mean, everybody has their reasons for doing this kind of stuff and there's no rhyme or reason to do it. you know, it depends on who they're listening to and all that. So like it can change.
Yep.
100%. Like you said, like it could be, obviously it's disappointing from, you know, what our expectations were coming into the year and what the team, you know, also put out there too as their expectation, which is, you know, that I'm glad that they had those expectations. I wouldn't want them to have any other expectations. But this could all change. Yeah. I mean, obviously it sucks, but I'm sad we only get these guys for two more, you know, guaranteed four more games, like between the two games, yep. One Big Ten tournament and then one NCAA tournament game. Like it killed me how fast this year went.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, most years if Purdue had seven losses right now, we would take it. And then that's the program. I guess we're spoiled in a way because we expect like at the worst, a four seed every year anymore in the NCAA tournament. That's just where we've been the last 4 years. But it's just this group, and it can still, the story's not complete yet. They can still go down in history as a great team and a great season. I mean, the story hasn't been finished yet, but up to this point, it's just got to be one of the more disappointing seasons because of what you returned, because of them not shying away from the narrative of national championship, mm-hmm. national championship, national championship, you know? So,
we are spoiled. Cause I mean, I know I said it in our group chat with some buddies where it's like, you know, I was like, oh man, Purdue sucks right now. And it's like, and I said, you know, I also realize me thinking Purdue sucking is still a borderline top 10 team, which is like a very spoiled. And even on Sunday, you know, when I was, you know, all pissy and stuff and was like, man, this team sucks.
I was right there with you.
So. And then my wife, you know, the next hour watching her Indiana Hoosiers play, she literally goes, you want to see a team who sucks? And she plays the TV.
Yeah. And I hope our fans never get to a point where they're booing one of our own players when he comes into the game and touches the ball like Indiana was Reed Bailey. I know a lot of that's their students, but come on.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. But
you want to know what sucks? Let's wait 6 months, guys. That's what sucks.
Yeah, could be
good. Yeah, could be better. We don't know. We don't know till they get on the field.
After last year, and the year prior, and the year prior to that,
new team every year.
There's only 30 some new guys. We'll see.
Yeah,
they're 0-0 till they're not. Undefeated till they're not. Everybody's undefeated till they're not.
We have the worst coordinator in Purdue history come back. Statistically, come back.
Wasn't his defense, though, either.
No, but it's a similar scheme. On that note, I don't want to get into that tonight. I do not want to think about that. I don't even want to go there. But I do want to go to a point you brought up. As the story is unwritten, and that is where I was on Sunday night. And I was like, I wonder, in a 10-year sample, how many Final Four teams are we looking at that had, you know, similar records kind of to this in making the Final Four? Now, I'll say this. I had to do a lot of manual math here because ChatGPT did not help me out.
Shocker.
It was bad.
Yeah.
So I have three questions for you all tonight. So in the last 10 years, including COVID, because it didn't happen, but I didn't feel like going back to 2015, what is the percentage of Big Ten teams making the Final Four?
Oh, Big Ten teams making the Final Four.
Yes. So this is out of 36 teams because it's 9 years. Just give me a number and I'll do math.
You counting UCLA in the COVID year?
No, we're not counting them. They weren't officially a Big Ten member of that.
Yeah, team. That's right. 36. I feel it's pretty low, like. Seven.
Okay.
Seven teams. I'll go 10 teams.
Making the Final Four. Okay. You both are wrong. It's three.
Purdue, Michigan.
Okay. Michigan State, 19.
That's right.
And that's it. Michigan, 18.
Did Michigan not make it twice? I thought they made it twice under Beilein.
No,
not in the last 10 years, though.
Not the last 10 years. You're going 15.
Yep. I'm going 2013, when that's not 10 years. Yeah.
That is an 8%, folks.
Yeah.
The premier basketball conference that the perception is doesn't make the Final Four often.
Hasn't won a national title since 2000.
Correct. But just in the last 10 years, doesn't even make the Final Four, let alone us getting to the national title two, you know, well, mm-hmm. Purdue getting the national title 2 years ago. All right. So this is where, Tanner, you were asking, does it is the losses? And I said yes, but no. This is the yes part. What is the percentage of teams, or just give me a number, of those 36 that had seven or more losses going into the final, that made it to the Final Four? So you still have 36 teams.
I'd guess at least 50%. I'm going to go 20.
Okay.
I'll go a little lower, 18.
50%, and that's 20 out of 36?
I said at least 50%.
Okay. I was going to say.
I know.
That's not right. I know. And I was like, how did you sit and we do math together all those years?
Math probably changed since then, let's be honest.
No, it didn't. The number is 14, actually.
Four off, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So it's about 39%, roughly. Those teams being UConn in 23 that beat us. Sorry, going in chronological order. You know, 24, Alabama and NC State. UConn in 23 and Miami in 23 as well.
Yeah, they were a 5 seed. UConn was a 4 seed.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously NC State was a 12 seed. Was that the 12 seed?
11 seed.
Yeah, because they had that win their tournament. They can't even get in.
North Carolina in 22, along with Villanova as well. They were the final four teams. In 21, if you remember, UCLA made it from the first four.
Yep.
To the final four. They're the only team to do that, right?
VCU.
Did they make it from the first four to the final?
Mm-hmm.
Was the first four around?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't remember.
11, yep. I think I was like the first year of it.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh man,
20.
I don't remember who they beat, but then they beat Georgetown, and then us.
Yeah,
then Florida State, then Kansas.
I thought it was just a direct matchup. I didn't think it was first four back then.
I'll fact check myself.
While you're fact checking, 2019 Auburn, they were 30 and 9. Okay. 2018, you had Michigan, it was 32-7, and Kansas is 31-7. 2017, you had North Carolina and South Carolina. South Carolina had 10 losses that year. If you remember, that was like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Year with Dawn Staley, and both men and women made it. And that was like,
didn't Oregon make it that year too?
Yes, Oregon made it. They were 33-5.
What a weird year.
VCU did beat USC in the first four in 2011.
Okay, so it was around. And then this one just this Final Four, I totally forgot about, but Oklahoma made it in 2016.
Buddy Hield.
Yep. And then Syracuse. They were 23-13.
As a double-digit seed.
Right, yeah. So, to all the naysayers out there, it can happen. It is all matchup dependent and all the draw.
And Purdue just got to find that Purdue that played at Alabama, played against Texas Tech, played at Iowa, played at Indiana at home, played at Nebraska in spurts.
Yeah.
I mean, and it all starts on defensive end of the floor.
It does. This is where it gets grim, though, guys. How many of those cut down the nets?
None.
One. I don't know.
Two.
I guess UConn, duh.
UConn, duh. Yes. And then North Carolina in 2017.
Mm. Oh, that's right. I forgot that you included them. Yeah. 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 UConn can thank Purdue slightly, since obviously Florida Atlantic made the Final Four out of Purdue's bracket.
I know Gary Parrish pulled some, I forget what it was. I saw it on Twitter today, some stat out of like, I don't know what it's like data that usually if teams hit this, they at least make the Final Four, if not the championship. And there's four teams right now. It's the four favorites right now. Duke, Michigan, Arizona, Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking with a colleague today. He's like, who do you think's going to win it? And he was like, I was like, it's hard not to pick one of these four teams. Yeah. And I guess I start with who the fourth team is. I'd probably throw Florida in there over anybody. I know people want to throw UConn in there, but the Big East is so bad. It's hard to, and they've struggled against some really bad teams, which granted they've won most of them, which credit to them, but man, Duke, Michigan, and Arizona look like so much better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
It is wild, but they could also have a bad matchup at the top side of the bracket.
It's a bad game.
Yep. It's all possible.
I'll be real curious this year if there's a big lack of upsets again, like we saw last year and year before. If like the ratings are going to start going down, maybe that's going to be what it takes then for somebody to step in and be like, hey, we got to do something so these mid-majors aren't getting killed.
Well, I think the just notoriety and publicity about this is taking a back seat. I mean, all I hear on sports talk radio anymore is NFL and NFL Combine.
NFL's king. Yeah.
And nothing about this anymore. I mean, the regular season of college basketball is non-existent anymore. On any, pretty much any network, it's, you know, here's college basketball for the night. And unless you have a team, it's not publicized to the masses. It's not an event like the NFL or college football.
And I feel like, too, like, even like the, you could probably throw like the TV deals into that, too, because it used to be, you know, ESPN would have everything. You could turn on ESPN every single night and there'd be a big game typically. But then the fact that now the Big Ten is, which I like the Big Ten not being on ESPN as much. But the fact that they have to go hunting for it on Peacock or Fox Sports One or whatever, it's like, you know, is the casual fan going to really scroll, or are they going to find, you know, NC State versus Duke? NC State's, you know, a bubble team, and obviously Duke is Duke, but like, are they going to switch away from that to go watch, you know, Purdue, Ohio State? I mean, obviously that was on CBS, so it's probably a bad example. But like, maybe if Michigan, Ohio State, or Michigan, Illinois was on a Thursday night against a couple of games, when people go find that, or are they going to just switch to whatever is like ESPN, because that's just the easy channel to switch to? I wonder that too, if that's caused an issue.
I believe it is. I think it, I wonder telling, I want to, I'll be interested in Sports Business Journal how it's going to be reported for baseball, because baseball now coming back on network TV for weekends, both on Fox and NBC, how that stacks up, because you are correct. Like, even college basketball is really not on ABC. So like on network television, like, you don't see it outside of Fox.
Yeah. And CBS on Sundays or maybe Saturday, maybe.
So like this, like, it's March Madness and it deals with sports betting, and it's just the perfect marriage, along with vasectomies that happen on Thursday. But I don't know how you fix this. I don't know. I blame Kevin Warren, but that he was just dealing with a product of his environment, too.
Yeah. Many teams, a lot of money. Many schools, a lot of money. I mean, it's
made Bobo a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, getting back to the thing on hand, they do have a shot. It's not over, but they are now playing their worst basketball at the most inopportune time, like the worst time of the year.
Which part of me, yeah, I agree with you. What gives me a little bit of hope is that we did see this last year, and then we got to the tournament, which granted, I mean, it's the funny thing too that I hear that I've seen that, like, now we're getting into March Madness, and people, I saw like a random TikTok who was like explaining Purdue to a non-basketball fan. It was like, if they're playing a team, like some East Coast double-digit seed, they always lose. It was like, well, hold on. Last year we beat two double-digit seeds, and the talk was Purdue got an easy route. It's like, hold on, I thought we always lose the double-digit seeds. So I'm losing. Tell me how I'm supposed to think here, because you're talking out of both sides of your mouth here, because it's either we either always lose or we had an easy route.
I had an IU fan tell me last week. This was after we lost Michigan State, but before we lost Ohio State. Hey, maybe you guys will do something different this year, and instead of dominating the regular season and choking in the tournament, you'll do the opposite. And I'm like, made the Sweet 16 last year with a team that was down and darn near beat Houston, was final runner up. And you remember 2 years ago, we were just the national championship. Like, I just it's still the narrative. Like, it just.
It's because it was, and a part of it too is obviously the 16 seed is what it is. Like, but like the year before, it's the 15 seed to St. Peter. Like, that was also in the Sweet 16. Like, people always seem to forget that because they had beaten a 2-seed Kentucky already. Like,
right.
Yes, it wasn't, you know, ideal. And I wish we didn't do that, but it was still like, it was still more than a lot of Big Ten teams I've done in the last 10 years.
Gary Dooley, 81-17 on YouTube, that I don't see Purdue getting out of their funk. I think a lot of people probably share that. But I pose this question to you guys because I was listening to Golden Black Radio today, and Derek Schultz and Ryan Newbert had two opposing views on this. Do you think momentum matters down the stretch going into the tournament? Derek Schultz said no, because he said we've seen teams go into March Madness hot and flame out. We've seen teams struggling and all of a sudden turn around. Newbert said yes, momentum does matter.
I tend to lean no, just because, I mean, we've seen it as Purdue fans. 2023 won the Big Ten by three games, won the Big Ten tournament. I'll bet we had to fight like hell to do it, and then lost to a 16 seed.
2018-19, even though we were a share Big Ten champs, we played terrible against a Minnesota team on a Friday night and kind of limped in.
Nuclear.
Then Carson went nuclear.
Yeah, yeah, just like, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think it, I can see both sides.
Right.
I just think it's really team dependent. I mean, you look at 2024, you know, obviously we won the Big Ten that year too, but it was just like we beat what Michigan State then lost to Wisconsin. And it was just like all we cared about was just Braden's leg being okay. Like mm-hmm. could not have cared less about that game when it was over. It was just like, you know, I know like Wisconsin was going nuts. It was like, it even's come out since then. It's like that team did not care about the Big Ten tournament. And I'm kind of the same way. Like we've seen Purdue win it a couple times now. Like as long as until Purdue needs to win, like I'm of the mind of just like, just don't get hurt. Like if that's what you need to kind of get into I kind of thought that in 2022 of like when Purdue went on, they went to the championship game and lost to Iowa with Ivy, like that team kind of faltered at the end of the season and, you know, lost a couple of games by last second shots. Like maybe that could be because one, you know, one team to win something, you know, maybe that could be the springboard, which they ended up getting to the Sweet 16, obviously. So maybe that did help. But obviously, like I said, 2019 is a perfect example of the team that going into the tournament did not have a good feeling. And then it was one of the most fun tournaments we've ever watched as a fan.
Yeah.
I think the momentum thing's a little overblown just because where momentum was capitalized, I think, with the Big East tournament, like when it was the original Big East tournament being the media capital of the world, mm-hmm. and you had two UConn teams with point guards that were flamethrowers of Walker and Napier, and that really helping. I mean, you had UCLA being terrible and going from just as I went through the Final Four, last four in and coming to the Final Four. So, to me, it's not.
NC State 2 years ago, like obviously mm-hmm. they went on that tear and had to mm-hmm. you know, beat Duke. I think they beat Duke in the
NBA. Yeah,
yep. I think it's maybe dependent on like the team chemistry, but I think it's more or less like it's kind of overblown by the media.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament. I mean, usually don't care if Purdue wins it or not. It's always nice, though, for a team to have something rather mm-hmm. than nothing to look back on. But, like, looking at this year, if the seeding all plays out as it's standing now, Purdue would be the 5 seed, playing, I think, the winner of Minnesota, USC. So you got to think good chances they win that one. Then they play Illinois, which I would honestly like another crack at them. Yeah. And then if they got by them, then they would probably play Michigan, which that probably wouldn't be fun. But my point being, you do have opportunities to beat good teams and get yourself feeling a little better going into the NCAA tournament. Or you can do the opposite, flame out and feel even worse going into it. So,
yeah,
I think I'd be very concerned about playing Minnesota that first game. I really would be. They played as tough in Mackey.
Yeah.
So,
lots of teams have.
Yeah. True. At that point, we didn't think so, though. There's only one.
Boy, yeah.
So, but them beating Michigan State,
it's not going to be a cakewalk, but I mean, it's a game Purdue should win, I would say.
That's a matchup I do not want to see this first game. Hopefully, somehow USC, because Baker Marshall, like that 26 year old, now is gone.
Yeah, he went and sit behind the bench the other day and they kicked him off the team.
Well, our game last year, our first game was against USC, and that was kind of a dogfight. Yeah. So, it really pissed off Musselman, which isn't hard to do. But
no,
well, Remus's kid's now playing. I forgot.
That's true. Yeah, we didn't play him the first time around.
Yeah, yeah. And we struggled without him. So it's going to be matchup dependent. Yeah. But yes, I'll ask this question because I've been thinking about this. Are we probably looking down the barrel at this team as having nothing to show forth at the end of this year?
Sure.
Yeah.
More than likely, we're sitting here right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Which sucks, but I mean, it's just kind of, I mean, part of it's, you know, our own fault, part of it's just other teams were just better.
Yeah. I didn't think
Michigan was going to be this good. I think Michigan was going to be good. I think they're going to be this good. Yeah.
I would say if I had to guess right now, every team in the Big Ten except Michigan will be sitting with nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
If I had to make a guess, I don't see any other team right now making the Final Four outside of Michigan out of the Big Ten. Some others have capability of doing it, but just nobody else is consistently playing well right now.
Yeah.
Correct. But again, they might have, well, they're going to have the Midwest region regardless, more than likely, locked up. So it'll be interesting to see how the chips play after this week. I don't think the defensive issues with Jacobson and not having a shot blocking presence or a rebounder, and you have to move Trader to the five and move Benter as a four, is not a good lineup.
It's last year's team. It's last year's team all over again. It's exactly what it is. Like, minus, you know, a Heidi or at the four, like, which is a whole other topic we can get into that's been pissing me off lately. But that's been probably the biggest disappointment lately. Is just like when the bigs haven't showed up, it's last year's team, which was fine, but like obviously we went out and got these guys for a reason.
I think Brian Neuber hit on nail on the head in his kind of review of the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
It's miscommunication. They're not talking. And if you watch Fletcher, the offenses pick on him. They either drive it at him or they set an off ball screen and his guy's wide open almost every time.
Yeah.
We're just not coaches. I'm sure they're doing the adjusting as much adjusting as they can, but at the end of the day, the players got to play on the court. They got to talk. And that's the thing. Like, this is a senior veteran led team. You think communication would be a problem. And it seems like it is.
Well, Brian,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Brian, that's why I asked you both if you watched Fletcher's interview with Brian, like after practice today.
I did not watch it
because he asked him about communication because he's like, hey, it looks like a lot of communication. You're the leader of communication on defense. What's going on here? And he acted like it was no big deal.
Of course he's going to.
And I thought, man, I know you're nonchalant, but like there's no even urgency out there on the court from you. Like there's no fire in regards to and the criticism Braden gets of ripping, you know, Omer on Sunday. No one's ripping, like, the other seniors ripping other players in regards to defensive assignments or holding themselves accountable either and saying, Mike, my bad. Like, you don't see that. I don't know if you both had noticed that.
It just looks like to me, I thought the Indiana game went along by 29 looked like they were having fun. Last two games, even at points we were where we win, it looks like they weren't having fun. I don't know. We were led to believe that this team's pretty close off the court. That's what we heard all offseason. But when I'm looking just with my two eyes, I think Trey Kaufman-Wren plays really hard, shows emotion. I think Jack Benter's playing his butt off. I'm not saying these guys are going out there not wanting to win or trying to lose. I'm not saying that, but I think the effort could be cranked up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it takes plays off, which is not fun to see. I think a lot of people are guilty of that too.
Sure.
Coming from someone who's never played a second of basketball outside of, you know, varsity basketball in high school at the 3A level in Indiana, you know, I can't imagine what it's like to go out there and, you know, the amount of effort you have to put forth in those types of games. But just from the standard that this program has set over the years, from my own two eyes of watching for 30 plus years, it just seems like sometimes it's either like they're taking plays off or, you know, the communication takes a backseat at the second or whatever. Like, it's just, that's what's frustrating. I mean, the good thing is that, you know, it's not like a scheme issue or a personnel issue of like, hey, we're just missing this one thing. It's like, it's there. We've seen it. It just needs to all come together, which is kind of the theme, I think, of the year. Just like they just put together, you know, 35 minutes of 40 minutes, like chances are will be pretty good.
Yeah.
Instead of 15 minutes or the last 15 minutes, the last 10 minutes of the game, we're down 8 and we're scrambling. That's what's been, you know, in a lot of, all of our losses. Like it seems like, you know, like there's that weird stretch where things just go sideways, and then all of a sudden the last 10 minutes it's like, okay, now we got to go. And it's just too late.
Mm-hmm. You brought up something that Brian called out on Sunday in regards to the Purdue's defensive scheme being too complex. And I'm like, I thought to myself, there's guys that played over 100 games on this team that should not be an issue. Mm-hmm. And something you call out. Like, to me, it's, I this is where I thought about it. And it's like, has this team really faced adversity? Like this senior class without Edie.
And I think last year, I mean
they lost by 20 or more 4 times last year.
They did.
But
they didn't rally. Like there wasn't, in the media in regards to how their freshman year was.
Yeah, well, losing the 16 seed as a 1 seed, that's the worst adversity you could ever overcome. Yeah,
it's expected at that point.
I honestly think the way they played their best basketball, those 3 games in March, even in a losing effort to Houston, how it all went down, I think that sets better in fans' mindsets than most. They forgot about most of the rest of the year, mm-hmm. which that's the beauty of this team, like not having their story all the way finished yet. Like if they go on a run, say at least make the Elite Eight, and somehow, if they make the Final Four or cut down the Nets, we're not going to talk about the regular season at all. Like, it's all going to be forgot about, you know?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll still remember the Iowa State blowout.
I won't. I'll tell you that much.
I was wondering about that. I was like, man, how much did this team, like, they ride Edie's coattails? I mean, they did make a name for themselves last year, but, like,
they helped a lot that year too. I mean, Zach was amazing, but they contributed quite a bit.
I'm not saying they didn't. I mean, but they were the role players with, you know, the best player in program history.
Yeah, you can say that for every program.
It's like saying, like, we're KDB without Glenn Robinson. Like, I mean, everybody always talks about Konzo Martin and all those guys. Like,
watch a game. Yeah, Glenn shot like 30 times.
Yeah, it's I mean, where would Duke be without Cam Boozer this year? Like, where would Michigan be without Yaxel Lindenberg? Yeah. Like,
well, Duke also has Cooper Flagg. Like,
right. I'm just saying, but those great teams that make the run is because they have a great player. It's like, shocker that great teams with a great player make a deep run. It's just, I mean, I feel like it only ever happens like when a team is losing. And it's like,
yes.
Yeah, it's just like, well, no shit.
I think it's more not having like an energizer like Lance Joseph or Mason Gillis.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest piece that's missing out of, like, you know, out of anything. It's just those guys that a Grady Eifert type of guy.
Yeah. Yep.
No matter what, is going to go out there and lay his ass on the line. And you know, I think Benter can do that. I just think he's a little young for that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a Antoine West in the future. Riley Burgess, yeah, that's another great one. It's just, you know, every team is different, and it's, yeah, those types of players I think are more important than, you know, like, so we all want the Carson Edwards, the Zach, like, yeah, no duh, that's what, you know, that's what makes the team go, but, you know, it's also those guys the other teams key on, so it's when those guys can step up, that's what makes a difference between a good team and a team that can make a run.
Yep. Going back this past week, like I said, at the start, Michigan State beat Purdue at home on Thursday, 76-74, giving Spartans the first win in Mackey Arena since 2014, which is kind of hard to believe. Purdue had won 7 in a row in the series. And then turn around, lose at Columbus, 82-74. Now Diebler's 3-0 versus Paint, and that damn arena over there is one that's just a thorn in Purdue's side for whatever reason.
Yeah. I think this class's only win was their freshman year.
Yeah,
when Fletcher hit that big shot at the end.
Probably should have lost that game. And
Ivy the year before, wasn't it, too?
Yep.
At home, 2 years before. He did it there.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it was 2 straight years. 2 straight years with a dagger three.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I felt overconfident going to that Ohio State game. They got waxed at Iowa. But maybe that made him like, no, they had to have it Sunday type of thing.
I was worried about that game so much just because of just like they came into Mackey last year and, you know, had that big comeback in the year before. It was just, I think it was just that bad voodoo, like going into it. I was just worried that, you know, again, it's a team that is desperate for a tourney bid, and those teams, you know, any given day, if you don't bring it, which Purdue seemed to, you know, they started out pretty well, and then
I thought the defense looked good at first. I thought they were having good rotations and everything, and then that didn't last long.
Yeah, up like 16-9, and then gave up a run and just
games in a row. 16-9.
Yeah, and then just gave it right, and then just gave it up, and never saw a lead again, which is crazy.
Like Michigan State, I kind of almost gave up. I was still watching with 4 minutes left. We're down 8. I'm like, looks like I lose. Then we fought back and had a shot to win at the buzzer, and
that wasn't
a draw to play. I don't know what it was, but that wasn't it.
I see both arguments of like, because obviously Painter called that timeout when Fletch had the ball, and like I think my dad said something like, TV crew, so they shouldn't have called timeout, let Fletcher drive and get the foul. I was like, when is Fletcher going to get the foul in that situation?
I wish we would have called it with 7 seconds instead of three.
I was like, when is, like, they were not calling fouls for one, that crew was not calling fouls, and it definitely wasn't going to be for Fletcher Lawyer. Like, those guys hate him. It was, so I get that, but then also you call the timeout, but you're also giving, you know, a KenPom top 10 defense all the time in the world to set the play and not have to scramble. So it's obviously work for Sasha for next year.
And I wonder if Brayton thought there was less time on the clock, because with 3 seconds, he had time to get in there a little closer, and he took one dribble and shot it. But, I mean, it was close to going in, but it didn't.
Yeah, I know Trey was upset. It looked like he was looking for the ball, but I think they had him. I mean, they had Cohen Carr on him.
You would have got fouled and missed him.
Right, yes. Yeah, so I would have, that was the thing. I was like,
at the line.
I was sitting there at the game, and I was just like, someone's like, throw it to Trey, let him get fouled. I was like, absolutely not.
Love you, Trey, but absolutely not the
situation.
Yeah.
If it's tied, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Maybe down one.
Down two.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Hit them both.
Yeah. Yeah, no shot. That was, I mean, credit to Michigan State. They're a hell of a team.
They were just physical.
Yeah, they were. I mean,
Cole Carr's like, most athletic player I've ever seen in the Big Ten in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
He can dunk it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He can run.
When you gave that an 8 out of 10, I could.
He can run and jump.
I know you said you put your hands in your head at the game, Evan, but
I didn't put my hands in my head. I just sat down and like, because everyone was standing up, and I looked up at the Jumbotron and like I caught it, and it was just like,
I mean, it was good. It was really good, but maybe it's because him. I was expecting like a between the legs or something or off the back.
I honestly thought. Who is the guy for Rutgers? I went to Alabama. Tall, big guy.
Morey or. That's not his name.
No, the center you're talking about.
Yeah.
He posterized Edie 1 year.
Yeah.
Mackey, and that was, granted, it was like he was at the rim, but I was like, that, and like Zach fell down. Like, I remember like I was at that game. So that was the game that then Ivy came down and posterized them.
Yeah.
That dunk was like, I was like, oh my God. He obliterated Zach.
But that was a little different.
Amore, got it.
Yes, Amore, you were 100% correct. Like, just the close-ups that game, he took off from the Big Ten logo.
I know.
And I'm like, and then did a windmill. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Now if he did a 360 windmill and did a
12 out of 12. That would have gave me a 10.
Yeah.
And I was also pissed at the time when you were asking me, so I didn't want to give a Michigan State guy any credit. Hey,
I will say this. I have become more numb. I can remember the two games I've become more numb and not let it affect me. Losses like this.
What's that like?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I'm not going to lie to
Teach
you.
Teach us your ways.
Teaching you.
Yeah, I'll tell you though. When Geo Baker went off against, I remember it was against No Gel in the 2020 season. Do you remember that?
Senior day. That's
the last loss I'd really gotten upset about, because I said, I can't control any of this. Why am I upset?
St. Peter's and Fairleigh Dickinson, man.
Those I just turn the TV off and go to bed. at that point.
Say FDU, I think there was that stretch in the second half. I think we got up five and then immediately gave up the lead. And I was like, that's when I was just, I had some personal stuff going on with my family, right. Like in family illness and stuff like that. So like that was, there was outside factors. I was just like, this doesn't matter. But I remember that when that happened, I was like, we're going to lose this game. Like, we're going to lose this game. Like, we could not pull away from a 16 seed. Yeah. That St. Peter's was tough. I remember I had to watch that in a restaurant. That was
a tougher one, I think, for me. Like, FDU, I just was like, numb. I'm like, it's never going to happen. Like, and St. Peter's was the first time my now wife, we were just dating at the time. We weren't engaged yet. That was the first time she saw me, like, just sitting in depression. And just for like,
because it was so set up. It was the 15 seed in the Sweet 16, and then an 8 seed North Carolina that we already
whooped.
Yeah. And it was like, here we go. This is it. Yep. This is the bracket finally fell.
Yep, finally cracked our way, broke our way.
Yeah. But you can't do anything.
You can't do anything about sports, but that's why we love sports.
Correct. But
they can't hear me yell at the TV.
No, it's not like that commercial.
Damn it.
I sit pretty close to games. I think they hear me.
I think some people hear me.
No, they don't. I'll tell you right now. They don't. Nor do they care.
Unless the people who sit in front of me.
The people in front of you do care, but not, that's about it.
Oh, I think they're in a bucket game. They might have been able to hear about the field.
Yeah, they did. They did.
They don't
care. And hopefully in the press box. That's what was really directed.
Yeah.
But that Geo Baker game, literally, I just sat there and I said, why am I mad anymore? No, I'm going to football.
Oh,
which then broke me for football was when Jack Rutgers. Yes, you know what one I'm going about, where I just was blowing up and saying what the, because I was texting Tanner. I was like, bleep and throw the ball. Why the hell are you not throwing the ball?
Yeah, he went down like 8 towards the end. He's just holding on to it forever.
I was so angry.
Yeah, that game was stupid. Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? They don't serve by effort in this. If they want to lose, they can
honestly
lose.
That was that 2020-21 year was my probably the best year for me because I was just like, I'm just happy we have sports.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was just like, I didn't even care.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was that year was MLB team made the playoffs. So that was a little bit.
Well, in 2021 was such a fun overall sports season because, you know, we're finally back going to events. Purdue wins 9 games, including a bowl game, and the basketball team makes a Sweet 16. I mean, should have made a little farther, but made Sweet 16. I mean, that was a pretty fun year overall. But.
Yeah. I remember I was at the Northwestern game at Wrigley and then immediately went to a Purdue bar and watched Purdue play North Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome. That was awesome.
And that's where I think the success and not getting in tune. I mean, I get frustrated with the football team, but it's like they suck. It's pretty much evident. Proof's in the pudding. Maybe not this year. I'll be optimistic as much till September ends.
That's fine. September's the most important month in schedule. So
once September ends, then it's time for leadership change, folks. Not head coach change.
Once again, they could have a good record at the September. You don't know.
Still time for leadership change.
Okay. All right.
That to me, if he does something good, it's him. It's not them.
It's Barry, not
yes.
Mobinski and Grimes and company.
Correct. Okay.
That's fair. Looking at this week, we're at Northwestern tomorrow night, 8:30. I believe that's their senior night.
I didn't realize Martinelli was a senior. I thought he was a junior.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm expecting him to put 40.
hopefully, score 45 for the team.
Yeah, he's a bucket. He's got to get his. Hopefully, Purdue can. Well, what makes me worried is we've seen Northwestern beat 2 Zach Edey teams.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they've done.
And they had Boo Booey. So, I mean,
right.
They had the guard.
They also beat that 09-10 team. That was good for Purdue. I mean, we've seen them beat good Purdue teams. And then Purdue senior days. That game tomorrow is 8:30 p.m. Big Ten Network. Then Purdue hosts Wisconsin again on a senior day, 2 of the last 3 years, 4:00 CBS on Saturday, or Fox or CBS. I don't remember.
I thought it was CBS.
Just CBS, very confidently, but now I'm.
Yeah, I thought we had like.
It, it, It is CBS.
I thought we had like CBS like back-to-back weekends. I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, because it's or the last game on CBS on Saturday. Yeah. And then CBS has Michigan State on Sunday.
So before we talk about those two games, I got a blind rankings.
Okay.
Five different senior day games. Ooh, and I want you guys to rank them however you want to rank them.
You're bored.
Hopefully you remember all these. I mean, they're all in our lifetime, all since we went to college. I know, Aaron, you didn't start at. Well, Evan, you were in high school for one of them, but you were close enough to being in college. And I'll start with that one. March 1st, 2011, Purdue beat Illinois 75-67. Seniors were Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson. And Purdue went undefeated in Mackey that year with that win in that game. Got down big at start and then had to lead at halftime.
I don't remember this game. And obviously, I was in high school, so that was always weird because, like, sometimes my basketball schedule would coincide with the Purdue basketball, so it was tough to sometimes.
It was a weeknight game.
Yeah.
I remember.
I'm going to put that at five. I'm going to go more of, like, just, like, what it meant to me.
Sure.
Like, from an – just because I don't remember it all that well.
Yep.
Could have been better because Robbie could have been there.
It was sad seeing him take pictures with Juwan and Etuan and shit clothes.
Yeah, that's what I remember of that because they were showing the video because this was on Big Ten Network afterwards. I'm going to go three.
I think Ryan Smith had a good game that game. I'm pretty sure he had a pretty good year that year, really. Was a starter, but yet role player. Very next year, February 29th, 2012. Purdue beats Penn State 80-56. Robbie Hummel senior day, as well as Lewis Jackson and Ryan Smith.
That one I'll put at two, just because I mean Robbie's my guy. I mean he's been my favorite player since he stepped on campus. So that was pretty emotional for that one, just because like it was like I remember feeling it was such an honor to be able to share the same campus with. With him, like I'm at school with Robbie Hummel, it was crazy. So yeah, I'll put that too.
I don't really.
I love Lou Jack. I remember Lou Jack when he committed. Like Tanner, you sent videos of like Lou Jack in high school.
His highlight tape was stupid. High school.
Yeah, it was like I was like he was. Yeah, he was so cool.
Shorts down his ankles and dunking on fools.
Yeah, it was like the N1 mixtape tour. I know highlight video you're talking about.
Good old school complete, YouTube there.
Complete sidebar here. I just thought it was. I remember back this. The old 2K college basketball game, I remember playing as Purdue and getting a point guard who was like 5'9". And I was like, I'm going to change his name to Lewis Jackson. I put a number 23, and lo and behold, Lewis Jackson wears 23 in college. I was like, I know things.
No Sardamas. No Sardamas over here.
I want to put this one at five. And just because I could put it higher because of Robbie, it was the emotional one. I do remember this one. But I'm just going to put it at five because I have a couple others. I have a feeling they're on this list. On a side note, he does come back, and I don't remember that. Like, he's been back here to the alumni games in town in Valpo, him and Scott Martin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They don't announce it because they don't want the media attention, like, following them.
Yeah,
But they show up.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm not surprised, like, from how he talks about, you know, his love for Northwest Indiana and all that. That's pretty cool.
I just noticed that was a leap year. That game was February 29th. So next one was February 28th, 2017. Purdue beats Indiana 86-75 to clinch the Big Ten, end up being Biggie Swanigan's last home game. The two seniors on the team, Spike Albrecht and John McKeeman.
McKeeman.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to put this – I'll go on this one. I want to put one, but I'm going to put two. I remember how much it meant. No, you know what? I'm putting one. This was so big.
Yeah,
Big Ten was at home
against your rival.
Against the rival, picking up the trophy at the end of the game.
Like, is that Crean's last game?
I believe so. Yes, because after that was Archie. Absolutely one. I totally forgot about this.
Dakota went nuts that game.
Yes.
I'm going to put it at three. I mean, that was probably one of my more favorite games in the last 10 years. But just because of who the seniors were, I'll put it at three there.
That's fair.
But that was – I remember I was at that game. That was really cool how it lined up that way. And it was – I remember, tweeting, let's,
I think it was like, was that 23? Is that number 23 or something like that? Like, let's get 23 tonight or something like that. And it was really cool.
Isn't the picture still in the trophy case out, like, there for the public?
I think that's now the 2014.
Yeah, the most recent one. Yeah. February 25th, 2018, Purdue beats Minnesota 84-60. Senior day was for Isaac Haas, Dakota Mathias, PJ Thompson, Vince Edwards. I remember getting a little emotional for this one because I loved that group, and that group
helped
bring Purdue back, even though Rafe Davis takes all the credit.
I hope he go get some graduate degree somewhere and doesn't affiliate himself anymore.
He is something.
I have so messed up this list so badly. Because I'm hoping for another one. I'm putting this one at four, but I agree. I'm with you. This was the first one that I actually got. Like,
and they all cried. Like, during that, remember when Isaac
Haas talked. I talked when Haas talked about his sister and like how pretty fantastic. Like, I remember just sitting there, like, I was like, oh my God, I'd never really done that before. Yeah. I'll put that at four. This is gonna be a massive re-rank at the end.
this was the one I remember it being emotional, and that's why I was gonna put it one. But then when you put the Big Ten championship one, that's why I flipped them. This is two. It was definitely emotional. And I remember also thinking, like, this is the team that's going to get us to the final four.
Yeah. That team was hot as any Purdue team I ever saw. Then they started stumbling. Then they got hot again. Then Michigan whooped them in Madison Square Garden. I was lucky enough to be there. And then Isaac broke his elbow. I still don't think that team gets to the final four, but I think they can get past Texas Tech with Isaac and get to Elite Eight.
Wasn't that the year that we lost to Ohio State, like, at the buzzer? Kade Bates-Diop hit that. Because that was the weird year. Was like, you know, I think Purdue lost like four games. And it was like, any other year, you're winning the Big Ten that year. But I think Ohio State that year lost three.
Yep.
And it was like,
lost that game, lost to a kind of crappy Wisconsin team on my birthday.
Yep, I remember
that. Won two battles with Michigan that year. Yeah. Absolute battles. I don't remember the other teams we lost to.
Because that crappy Wisconsin team, Brad Davidson was a freshman that year, right? Or was a sophomore?
Yes. He was young.
Yeah. I played there so long out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lynch. Yeah.
And then lastly, March 10th, 2024.
Thank God.
Purdue beat Wisconsin 78-70. Lance Jones, Mason Gillis, Ethan Morton, Zach Edey, Carson Barrett. Senior day.
Yeah. This is my one. Yeah, it was so cool. Obviously, it was mostly for Zach, and they unveiled his banner at the end, which was really cool.
Will they do that Saturday for Braden?
Yes.
I would think. Yeah, you'd think.
They're going to. That's a yes.
They should. They should. But
they will.
Yeah. So re-rank. If you could remember.
Zach won 2018, 2, 2017, 3, Robbie 4, 2011,
5. Not re-ranking.
Good with your list.
No regrets.
That's fair. Yeah.
So that was also the thing, too, about like the Zach one was like, because that was also the year that the crowd now does kind of what they do now with the starting lineup, where like the crowd just says every player's name. Like, that was the year that they started saying Zach Edey with the announcer, which I always blank on his name. I feel bad because he's been there forever.
Like every sport too.
Yeah. Like being there and like saying with the crowd, like, wow, that's the last time I'm going to be able to say this. Like,
my roommates hated the guy.
Whatever.
He hates a lot of things in life. So
yeah. Yeah. But being able to be there and like say that, like with the crowd, was like, wow, this is one last time. It really sucked.
I'm glad Tyrone and DJ Burke were on this list.
I only put the winning games.
The teams that would just third it.
Oh man. I try to just take those years out of my memory.
I thought you were going to throw a curveball in there. I was like, gosh, this is going to be bad.
I remember, like, we had seen the stat of, like, I remember my wife texted me when I was at the Michigan State game. She goes, this is the first time they've won at Mac since 2014. I just texted back, that Purdue team was awful.
Yeah. That was either Joe Barry or Glenn Robinson bobblehead night, because I missed it for an exam, and somebody got it for me.
It was Glenn Robinson because Evan and I missed because of an exam across campus.
Yeah, we were sprinting over. Remember, I was just like, hope to let me take my backpack in.
Yep. I remember listening to most of the first half in the on the radio in my car and then having to go in and take the exam. And then getting out and check my phone like, oh, crap, we lost. Because we were hanging in there for a while. And then
that's awful.
All right, this week, how we feeling? With these matchups.
Great. Wisconsin obviously worries me just because, you know, obviously we took care of business up there, even though it got dicey at the end after.
It was like a year ago.
Yeah, ever since Braden got the record for the Big Ten assists, it kind of went south there for a while. And they've got some things that give pretty trouble in terms of guards that can, I mean, obviously they're the highest scoring guard combo in the Big Ten with Nick Boyd and Blackwell. They've got the stretch fives. So that gives me, you know, that gives me worry. And then Northwestern just being at Northwestern and they're doing their blackout thing. They always do against Purdue for whatever stupid reason. You think there'll be, should be a good contingent of Purdue fans there. But it's again, one of those weird 8:30 games on a Wednesday night, like against a team that sucks, but if you don't bring it, they're going to beat you. They've got the guys to do it. I'm curious to see, like, I don't think it matters, but like Trey Singleton's on their team. That was a guy pretty hard. Obviously, Martinelli's a good player. They've got some dudes that, I mean, they went into Indiana and won.
Beat Oregon, beat Maryland too.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably fighting. I don't know what the standings are, but they're probably one of those teams fighting to make the Big Ten tournament. Like 14, to keep playing.
They're in the 14th slot.
Okay. So they can't really afford a lot of losses. You'd think that one should go Purdue's way. I think they still go 2-0 this week, but I don't think it's going to be.
I do too.
I love an Iowa type performance tomorrow.
Wouldn't that be fun? Two of them, 1 week just to relax.
Yeah.
Do we want to do predictions for this Northwestern game? By the way, it's also retro night for, because this was on Chicago Sports Radio. I didn't realize the NBA is doing retro night, and Collins' dad is calling the game with Bob Costas.
Oh, Bulls Thunder. NBC.
Yep, and Hannah Storm doing like sideline reporting too. Huh. Like it's like back like how it was in the 90s. Hmm. So, interesting, but score prediction, bowl prediction, player of the game.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll start. Purdue wins 75-60. Bold prediction, Purdue hits at least 10 threes, so don't get a lot inside. Player of the game, I'm going to go CJ Cox. He had three of them in the first half. I want to see him just nice, consistent game out of the guy.
I'm going to go Boilers 72, Northwestern 59. Player of the game, I'm going to go, this is going to be a left field here. Daniel Jacobson bounces back in a huge way.
That's very left field. I hope, for the kid's sake, I hope he does. He needs
it. Yeah. Bold prediction. I'm going to say when he gets a
– needs to play more than 4 minutes, probably.
Yeah, that's the key. Bold prediction. Man. Purdue holds Martinelli to less than 20 points.
I feel really good about our chances if we do that.
Score prediction for me, Purdue 74, Northwestern 73.
Oh, my God.
He's usually the optimistic one.
I was expecting like 75 to 30.
No.
Martinelli scores all 30.
I'm very concerned about the defense. I'm not going to lie. I think offensively, they're going to score enough to win. Player of the game is going to be Nick Martelli because he's going to drop 37. And bold prediction, Jacobson plays more than 5 minutes.
I like your bold prediction. I think you're going to be right there. All right, senior day against Wisconsin, 4 o'clock CBS on Saturday.
This one, yeah. What was the score last time these teams played? Let's see here. It was. We played them in January.
We're second in KenPom offensively right now and 33rd defense.
Yeah. Surprised it's only still only 33rd.
Yeah,
we won by 16 up in Madison, 89-73. I'm going to go Purdue 84, Wisconsin 76. Play of the game,
Braden Smith last time. Bowl prediction.
Do it.
Last chance.
Do it.
Triple double.
Do it. Gosh, I'm really scared he's not going to get it.
Yeah.
Not scared. I'm concerned for him, I guess, but or Purdue. I like that score prediction a lot. I'll stay close to that. Purdue 87, Wisconsin 77. Player of the game, I'll go with another senior. I'll go Trey Kaufman-Wren. And Trey puts up a double-double with 25 points, 12 boards.
25 points, 12 boards. Felt bad not doing my boy lawyer, but I must change that. So that's it. Play of the game, Fletcher Lawyer. Bowl prediction, Braden. How Braden doesn't get to triple as a play of the game.
Yeah, what's Fletcher do? Hit 10 threes?
Yeah, he gets 30.
How many does he need? Eight to pass Carson?
Eight, yeah.
Maybe he has eight?
Yeah.
Well, but maybe he gets it this week.
Yeah, he gets it. I say it's four piece.
Yeah.
I wish I knew the spread in this game. The spread for tomorrow is 10.5 Purdue. I thought Fletcher was going to hit 10 threes last week and did not really show up in Michigan State. I thought he would have been really motivated. I think this one's going to be a loss on Saturday against Senior Day. I think Wisconsin's going to win 80-75. Player of the game is going to be Nick Boyd.
Man, I wish I had that Vince Vaughn meme. He's back!
No, I'm not back. No, I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I got control of this now.
Yeah. I need to make a graphic for next week.
No. Bold prediction, I think Braden will foul out.
What a way to go out on senior day.
Oh, Jesus.
Womp, womp, womp. What kind of sound effects do I have on here? Not applause. No good ones.
I just see this week going 1-1.
Drum roll, bounce. Nah, no good. Need to get some of those on there for football season.
Do not bring that up right now. We're not there. It's 1-1.
Spring practice started today.
Yep.
I read all about it. Read the recap. Just to piss you off, Lynch. That's why I did it.
No one cares.
I care.
Sure. It seems like older. You renewed your tickets. When September ends, we'll see if this team's for real or not.
That's fair. I'm going to enjoy the offseason.
You enjoy the offseason. Don't hype yourself up for a team just bringing in 33 new guys.
I won't. Didn't hype myself up last year. I'm going 4-8, and they didn't do that. So,
I guess quickly before we kind of wrap up tonight, where would – 2-0 puts us probably 5 seed.
Yeah, right? I think.
Hold on, let's do this. I have this. I did this last year.
Because the triple buy or double whatever triple buy or double buy, you're pulling that up.
There's a website I sent you guys earlier today, but let's pick some games real quick, and I can, based off our picks, I can tell you exactly what the bracket would look like. So let me pull up the schedule here. I need a consensus for these games. So Illinois versus Oregon.
Illinois.
Number 9 Nebraska at UCLA tonight at 10 at 11 o'clock. Fox.
I like 1. UCLA at home.
I think Nebraska gets it done.
All right, go Lynch's way. Go Nebraska. Oh, well, you decide to
tiebreaker. I'm the tiebreaker. Yeah, I think UCLA. Wednesday.
Does Diebler get fired?
No.
I think we say, as I tweeted from our account, Purdue doing the rest of the conference a favor and keeping Diebler employed.
I still think they fire him.
If they don't make the tournament, if they lose to Penn State, yeah, he's gone.
I think they lose to IU this weekend, he's gone.
We'll see. Okay. Purdue Northwestern, we all pick Purdue. Indiana hosts Minnesota.
Indiana.
What'd you pick, Lynch?
Minnesota.
I'm picking Indiana home.
I'm picking Indiana. Ohio State at Penn State.
I think Ohio State finds a way to get done, but that's a dangerous game.
Yep. Ohio State.
I'm Ohio State as well. Maryland at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yep.
USC at Washington.
Don't give a crap. Washington.
USC.
I'm going to pick Washington just because they're at home. Thursday, number 3, Michigan travels to Iowa City.
Michigan,
yeah. Rutgers at Michigan State.
Sparty.
Yep.
Yep.
Saturday, so we got Indiana at Ohio State.
Lynch, Buckeyes.
I picked the Buckeyes too in that one, so we're picking Ohio State for that one. UCLA at USC.
UCLA,
yeah. They got a good week.
Northwestern at Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yep. Washington at Oregon. Ugh.
Oregon, I guess, because they're at home.
You guys both picked Oregon?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oregon.
Okay. I was going to pick Washington, but who cares? Going Purdue over Wisconsin because I'm the tiebreaker.
I forgot. Lynch picked Wisconsin. I'm
Penn State at Rutgers.
Rutgers, I guess.
Penn State.
I'm going Rutgers. Illinois at Maryland.
Illinois.
I can't see Lynch too, which is why he's here, Taylor. I can't even see Lynch
right now. Oh, his reaction every time, because every time you broke the tie, it's against him. So
I know.
Illinois.
I want to pick Maryland so badly, but yeah, the Illinois one's on. Number 8, Michigan State at Michigan.
Michigan.
Locksley and the boys ain't showing up for that game, so Michigan.
Locksley's the worst coach in the Big Ten.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Michigan, and then finally closing out the Big Ten regular season, Iowa at Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Okay, calculate seeds. So if that were to end, you'd have Michigan, 2-seed Nebraska, 3-seed Michigan State, 4-seed Illinois, 5-seed Purdue.
Nebraska's got to be the worst 2-seed in Big Ten history.
Yeah, 5-seed Purdue, 6-seed Wisconsin, 7 UCLA, 8 Ohio State, 9 Iowa, 10 Indiana, 11 Minnesota, 12 Washington, 13 USC, 14 Rutgers, 15 Northwestern, and then Oregon, Maryland, Penn State missing the tournament. You'd have Purdue playing the winner of Washington and USC, and then obviously facing Illinois on Friday and then playing Michigan.
Who's the 8-9 game?
It would be Ohio State versus the winner of Iowa versus either Oregon or Maryland. Wait, this has all. Wait, do all 18 teams make it now?
I don't know.
No,
maybe they do.
No, they shouldn't unless they change the rule. Last year they didn't.
I know they didn't last year, but I didn't know if it goes in effect this year or next year.
This bracket has all 18 teams in.
It might have changed it this year.
The Big Ten tourney then would start on a Tuesday, wouldn't it?
Yep. 4 o'clock Central. Maryland versus Oregon, 17-16.
12 people in attendance. Parents didn't even make the trip. So if that happens, we're on the opposite side of the bracket of Indiana. The only way we would play is in championship game. We've only played them once. It was the inaugural Big Ten tournament in 98.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. They would have to make it up to the 9 seed, and obviously we would have to stay at a 5.
That means they beat Michigan.
What happens if we go 1-1 this week? Humor.
I'll humor you. Okay, let's go.
God, I hope you don't have to put them all and put all of them again.
No, we would drop to, if everything else happened the way we predicted it, and we just lost the Wisconsin game, that would move us from the 4 or from the 5 to the 7. But that's with a tie with UCLA. That's why.
Then Indiana comes to play.
Yeah, we played the winner of Indiana versus Penn State Northwestern.
I think we could beat them again, but I'd rather just not play them.
I'd rather not.
Like I said on my podcast last night, if they beat us, go 2-1, gets us a basketball and win the national championship in football, just
Yeah.
Like,
as I said, like, I don't want it to happen, but I wouldn't mind the 6 seed because then you'd probably get Michigan State at the 3. And I wouldn't mind another crack at them.
But wouldn't this, if we dropped to the 7 seed, wouldn't we be playing Nebraska?
Nebraska. We would. Yeah.
That is a path I would rather take.
I don't want to lose a game this week.
Yeah.
For the big seeding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the more important
thing. If we lose tomorrow night, that's rough. I'm not going to lie. If we
lose tomorrow, not tomorrow, then it's yeah.
It's curtains.
Yeah.
It's not curtains. The season's not over. There's still time.
I know.
Hey, we lose tomorrow, would be bad. Then we're looking at a 5 seed probably in the big
games. Yeah.
No, first of all, you can't say that because if we run the table in the Big Ten tournament, get Saturday or Sunday, then that could change.
We lose tomorrow, we're not running no table.
If we lose on Saturday, it's completely different.
Lose tomorrow, I might put myself through a table. I don't know.
We lose tomorrow, 0-2 is in play.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Let's play some Bills.
Okay.
Yeah.
The boy break. You want to pull the ad up real quick? Oh, I thought you were pulling the banner of my stuff.
Before we get into that, just some updates on some scores around the country. Currently, with less than 3 minutes to go, Georgia is up on number 16 Alabama by 10. Texas Tech is down 6 with just under 8 to go at home to TCU by down 6. North Carolina has barely beaten Clemson. Miami, Ohio, another dogfight up 4 over Toledo with a minute to go. Yeah.
You need me to do the reading, Lynch? Is that what you're saying?
No, I got it tonight. Boy, okay. I just thought you were going to pull up the thing.
I got the pizza ready.
So. I thought you were pulling up my banner. Thoughts are only my thoughts. Okay. The Boy Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom. Serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette and it's well known as the home and original cheese stick, but whenever any of us at the Boiler Breakdown crew are in town, we like trying out the latest pizza in the month, which is new for March. It is Rob's Crispy Bourbon Chicken. It is bourbon chicken topped with crispy chicken, tossed in bourbon sauce, onions with onions, celery, mozzarella cheese, and finished with a toasted sesame seeds on top. So whenever you're in town, use the promo code BREAK526. That's BREAK526 for any $5 off any order over $20. So that could be pizza of the month, grinders, cheese sticks, you name it. Can't go wrong at Mad Mushroom. Mad Mush, feed your head.
And I should probably fact check myself before I say this. Well, I think they're doing a special on slices of cheese pizza tomorrow.
Sick.
I'm checking that right now because I don't want to say that and people go. Let's see. I'm pretty sure because it was a good deal, but I don't remember the value. Gosh dang computer. All right, here we go. All right, while I'm finding this, Webby, you can go on to the next read. You want. Oh, shoot. Evan, I can't hear anything you're saying.
Yep, that's right. I was muted.
I thought I muted something. So
yep, no, that's me. I muted myself during lunch because I was messing with the cord and it was making a lot of noise. That's my bad. brought to you by the shop. 3 retail locations across Indianapolis, 1 in Carmel, Broderpool, downtown Indy. If you're in town, stop on by. This is, as I was saying, when no one can hear me, this is their busy season getting ready for the 500. It's almost May, which is crazy that we're already here. But if you're looking for something for hopefully a deep March run, go to the shopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown to get free shipping.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not seeing the cheese pizza thing now, but tomorrow they are having a watch party, all you can eat for $10.
Can't beat that.
Purdue Northwestern.
Might need to go into a food coma if Martelli starts hitting.
Very true.
It's actually a game I wanted to get. Before the year, I was hoping I wanted to get tickets for this game. I just never matriculated. One of those games I'd like to go to. I've heard that arena is awesome.
Coming up on next week, a week from tonight, on March 10th, they're doing animated sitcoms trivia.
Ooh.
Family Guy, Simpsons, South Park. Futurama, Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
A lot of others I'm not familiar with. I probably am not. So, yeah. Always got stuff going on in Mad Mush right there on State Street, heart of campus. Go check them out. And get some merch and some apparel from the shop as well.
Yes, sir.
Final thoughts.
Let's get two.
I hopefully we can get two. If not,
you're supposed to be the positive one recently.
No, it's still positive. I just don't know.
Retraining Harden, he's downhill now.
No.
They've been playing pretty well. I'm following.
They've been hitting the ball well. I will say that. They've been hitting the ball well. No, I'm not the pessimistic person right now. Being a little more realistic than that, like Fletcher hitting 10 threes last week, I thought he would against Michigan State.
Yeah.
It's not September yet. I'm pinning that. I'm still optimistic, but I'm just more realist.
Well, let's start off the week by boiling up, hammering down, and beating the Wildcats and the Badgers.
Boiler up.